Good morning, church family. It is my privilege today to be able to present this presentation to you. It's special here to Eden Valley, and some of you have probably heard this before, so just be patient with me. And it's special to Eden Valley because the Lord gave this message to me here to give to our guests who come to our program. And there came a day where the Lord really put it on my heart that, like, I should present this message to all of Eden Valley, not just our guests, because it's something that is very prescient to today. And spiritualism, it's about, well, my lecture is called The Inroads of Spiritualism. I actually was praying one day, and the Lord showed me that this lecture actually has to do with the third angel's message. I was reading Ellen White, and she was talking about how the third angel's message, really points out the issues with Rome and all that, but also goes into the exposing the inroads of spiritualism. And so I realized, like, that the Lord gave to me something very unique because of the way He's led me in my past. So I'm going to start with my testimony. Let's see. I always have computer issues, you guys. Let me back out and then go back in. So, okay. All right. So, I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, and I never actually really believed in God. My parents really never knew, and I really grew up questioning a lot of the things that I was told about the Lord. It really took till about 24 years old till I actually just really completely rejected God altogether. And I had a prayer with God, and I said, you know, I don't believe in you. And if you are there and I just don't know, I don't want you in my life. I don't serve you. And if for some reason you are there, I'm asking that you'll protect me until I can come back to you. And so, God did exactly that. He stepped out of my life, and I really went headlong into anything I wanted to do. I moved to Boulder, Colorado, and, I was a really big rock climber, into rock climbing and all that kind of stuff. And, so that's why I moved there. And eventually I got to a point where I needed to quit, and I needed to fill my life with something else. And yoga was really attractive to me because I was looking for inner peace in my life. And yoga actually promises peace and wholeness and all the things, satisfaction, all the things that I was really looking for. So I got into different workshops and learning how to do it, and really came to a realization that I wanted to teach yoga. So I decided I'd move to Hawaii to get instructed, where the school for the yoga discipline that I was into was, so that they could teach me, and then I could eventually start teaching yoga. I actually went back to Portland, Oregon, where I'm from, during that time, just to reconnect with my parents before I moved. And I was surrounded by Christians again, Adventists specifically, who were praying for me. There came a time where my mom came to me one day, and she said, "Lindsay, I really want you to listen to this guy. He's so amazing, and I want you to listen to his whole series, and it takes a lot of time, so I'm going to pay you money to do it. His name is Walter Veit, and it's called The Total Onslaught." And I was like, sure, fine. I was trying to make money, and I didn't care because I didn't believe that stuff. So it's like, I'll just watch it, and then, you know, everything will be fine. And I'll get money, and I'll go to Hawaii, and whatever. And so that's not what happened, praise the God. What started happening, actually, was in my room at night, I started getting something, like, weird things happening, where I would wake up in the middle of the night out of a deep sleep, mind wide awake, and I would have a knowing that there was something in the room with me. And this thing was curious about me, and it was really trying to get me to engage it in conversation. And praise the Lord that you don't, sometimes you don't realize, like, where your mind really is. Like, I had rejected God, but I had not rejected the idea of evil, like Satan, basically. And when that thing came to my room, I was like, I don't know what that is, but I don't want to talk to it, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I was actually very, very scared. It would do this, every now and then. So it wasn't every night, but it would come just enough for you to get relaxed again, and then it would come. And it would make noises around the room. It would give me weird dreams where I'd be like being pulled off the bed by something I couldn't see. And then I would wake up in that exact position that was in my dream. There was patterns to it. And that's really how I finally realized how to recognize that something, that there was a spirit in my room, because there was a pattern. It would always wake me up at 3 a.m. And it was like on the dot, wake me up. Well, once I started watching Walter Veit, it no longer came curious, it came angry at me. And there was like abject fear in my heart when it would come, like fear that I couldn't control. I had no clue what was happening. I went to friends, would tell them about what was happening to me, and nobody had any advice besides put a ring of salt around your bed. And in my mind, I'm like, how is salt going to help me? I need something bigger. And that is actually, praise God, what God would intercede for me in this time, and he would actually humble my heart to the point where I could accept help from something greater than myself, which at the time I thought I was the greatest thing, because in yoga, you worship yourself as a god. I didn't realize that's really what I was doing in yoga, but it's what God actually showed me, that yoga, in essence, is actually self-worship. So I started praying and praying for God to free me of this thing. I actually made a choice one day to actually choose to believe in God. And I knew that that God was Jesus that I was choosing to believe in. I didn't know what religion I was going to be. I just kind of left that to God. But I did know Saturday was Sabbath. So I said, I'm going to just keep your Sabbath. And I don't know how to do that, but I'm just not going to work. And that's how. And so little by little, the Lord was able now to intercede in my life on my behalf. And I want to note that, like, when I was being harassed by this thing, God was, like, at the beginning, he wasn't in my life. But once I accepted him, God was in my life, and this thing was still harassing me. God put this, just a forbearance in my heart, where it's like, just wait. I didn't know why God didn't remove it right away, but I knew he was going to, and that I just didn't understand my situation. But the unseen, I knew that all heaven was trying to help me and free me of what was going on. One day, God leads me to a Seventh-day Adventist church. I go in, and the pastor I fill out a prayer request that said, there's a spirit in my house, and I don't know how to make it go away. Would you please pray for me? I didn't realize the compassion that God gives Christians, because I didn't know any different at the time. I'd come from the world, and there's no compassion that I saw in my life there. And they were like, we want to pray for you. We want to help you. Would you come talk to us? And they asked me things like, is there anything in your room or something you have that may allow spirits into your house? Is there anything you're doing? Is there anything your brother and sister is doing? Because I live with them at the time. And I was like, no way. There's nothing I'm doing that's allowing this thing. I was like, it's definitely my brother and sister. But that was not the case. And but I thought about it, and I was like, God, I went to my room that night, and I said, God, open up my eyes to anything that I may have that is allowing spirits access to me. And when I walked in my room, he did exactly that. It was like my eyes were opened, and it was just about everything I owned. It was a little figurine of a gargoyle that I thought was cute and decorative, but I threw that away because gargoyles are meant to chase away evil spirits, and only Jesus does that. It was fairies, pictures of fairies that are so cute. They have their little dewdrop, like, you know, flower stuff on, and, you know, it's just walking on a spider web kind of thing. They're very cute, but they're actually the representation of spirits. And so I throw those out. I had pictures of goddesses, threw them out. Books on yoga, meditation. I was really big into meditation as well. And I had books on spells even, like psychic protection, because I adopted this idea of a universal energy, or an energy that we within ourselves, like, innately have, and that we can manipulate that energy. The energy is like a sacred, and that it's in essence, it's divine, but it's not Jesus. It's different. It's not him. And so, you also kind of believe that you can give your energy to somebody else and take their energy into yourself. So that was really kind of, so that's why I got into psychic protection. So nobody could take my good energy. This obviously, which I will show, is a not true. It's just the ideology of spiritualism, which we'll go into. But so I threw all those things out of my house immediately, and I asked God, like, what's the number one thing that's allowing these things in? And God said, your music. And so I took all my music and I threw it out. Like, I'm talking thousands of dollars, you know, that I threw out of stuff. And I threw it in the garbage, and then I had a prayer. I asked God to forgive me. I asked him to remove the spirits. And that night, I was like, man, what time is it? I said that prayer, and I looked at my watch. I'm like, I knew it was late. It was exactly, I'm not joking, you guys, it was like 3 a.m. on the dot when I looked at my watch. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, and then the popping and cracking and doors slamming, you know, like around my room started happening. But that time, I could tell it was weakened and that it had no power over me anymore to be there. I didn't realize that the things I was doing in yoga and meditation was allowing them authority in my life. I didn't realize that the day I rejected God, I accepted Satan's authority in my life. I thought I could be just a human being, that I didn't serve Jesus, I didn't serve Satan, I'm just serving myself, basically. But I didn't realize that's not how the framework of this world works. So the spirits definitely had authority, and praise God that we serve someone who has conquered that authority, and he can remove them. But we have to trust God, and we have to be willing to accept all that God's going to reveal of the truth to us and remove these things from our lives. So now, that was the first time that I was harassed by spirits. I now go into my life with Jesus, and I'm serving him. He's giving me the Holy Spirit, and I am so happy. At this time I contracted Lyme disease and I'm getting very sick, but Jesus is my God, and I'm praying and I'm asking him how to get well. Some of my first prayers were asking, how do I get well? And he would show me. He's like, change the water you drink. He's like, change, adding more nutrition into your life. And then he's like, I want you to go plant-based. And I was like, I don't think so. And this, I was a baby Christian, so I didn't understand that when God tells you to do something, you need to do it exactly, all of it exactly. And what I did is I gave half service, where I tried to force myself to be that way, but also I would celebrate with eating a hot dog that I had just been plant-based for like a year. Now I eat a hot dog, you know, so I didn't fully submit my heart to him. And it would take me 8 years to understand this lesson. I wish that I could have, like, not gone through that. You know what I mean? But God can use it now all for a blessing to others. So I'm thankful still. But I wish at that point, when I realized I couldn't do what God asked me to do, that I would have stopped my entire life until God gave me the power to do what he asked me to do, because the power doesn't come from within us. We don't have the power to do what God does, like asks us. You know, God gives us that power. And so I should have fasted and prayed. I should have done all these things until he gave it to me. But I just let time pass, and 8 years went by, and I was more sick, and I was dying. And I knew that I was dying. Your body tells you when you're dying. And I became very scared because I wasn't able to do what the Lord said. Like, he was still in my life. I was still praying, having worship. I was talking to him every day. He was convicting me of the things he wanted me to do, but no longer did he tell me how to get well anymore. Like, he would guide me, but we didn't move forward. You know what I mean? So I finally, because of that, got desperate, and I started searching into methods of healing. God warned me. He said, Lindsay, you can do this. You know, you are welcome to find remedies to help heal you. But I'm giving you a warning. He said, be careful for spiritualistic healing methods. And I was like, no problem. I'll spot that a mile away. I came from that. I came from spiritualism. And I was like, I'm not going to get into that. That's what I thought. So I ended up accepting this healing method called earthing, while I was walking with the Lord. He allowed it into my life, but he and I, like, we were still together. That's why I thought I was okay, you know? And to a certain degree I was, but God needed to teach me some things. So this healing method has to do with the earth's energy, and how if you take your shoes off and you walk outside in the grass, you will kind of, your body will like resonate with the earth's energy, and it will, its frequency is healing to your body, especially with inflammation. That's the idea. That should have been really obvious to me, but it was not. My mind was very cloudy, and I was willing to believe anything because I was desperate. I knew I was dying. And so you can actually buy merchandise for earthing, which is blankets and throws and even chairs and stuff like that. And woven into them, they have silver, that conducts the earth's energy when you plug it into the grounding port on an electrical wall, or sorry, on a wall. I bought all of it, and it came into my house the first year of my marriage. And I regret it so much, you guys, but I'm very thankful that God can use it as a blessing now. So it's like Kyle and I barely had a chance to just be him and I without a spirit in our house. You know, we served the Lord. God was our God, but it was there too. There are times I couldn't control my anger. There's times I was always irritable because of my disease. I was constantly wrestling over my character with God, which is all, wrestling over your character with God is a very good thing to do with Him. But it was just this constant battle. I didn't actually need to have that much of it. You know what I mean? So it would be till I went to massage school in South Dakota. I left Kyle. He was working to pay off the debt, and I went to massage school. And when I got there, I turned off the light that first or second night of school. I got into bed, and all of a sudden I realized there's something in the room with me. And I'm like, no way. Like, this isn't possible. Like, God, I serve you. And I was like praying and claiming scripture and like, what is this doing here? Why is it allowed? And I was like, I believe that they have to have access somehow, because you protect completely. Like, we know that this isn't heaven on earth, that bad things happen. But God, when he protects completely. If there is harassment going on, like in your household, you know, they have access somehow. You know, they can, like, attack from the outside, but I'm talking like intimately, where this thing starts using your own thoughts against you and stuff like that. So spirits can implant thoughts into your mind, and it's your choice to choose whether to follow, accept that thought, or to reject that thought according to God and according to the Bible. So that's what the spirit would do. It would come to my room, and it was like I couldn't control my thoughts, and I would have these random, like, just go to the bar. Just go to the bar and drink. Nobody's going to know. You know, and I'm like, no, that does not make me happy. I do not want to do that. And I was praying and asking God. So it happens again, and it starts happening again, where the spirit's coming to my room at night. And it was there, but God was there too. And I was very confused, and I was praying and having worship with God and just asking him, like, why, what have I done? I'm like, there is no access. Like, I can't think of a thing. And during this time, God sends a friend to me, Al, who's the director of the massage program. And one day he just happens to mention, you know, earthing is a spiritualistic healing method. And in my mind, I'm like, no, it's not. They can't have everything. That's not fair. I'm like, it's definitely not. I'm like, I searched it out. There's science behind it. It works, right? And I'm like, it's not. But I didn't say anything. I was just like, reject. And that was my answer to my prayer, and I just didn't see it because I was blinded by the acceptance of this thing. I am continuing to go through this. It would overtake me in very strange ways, like where it just felt very blissful or enchanting. Like, you know, they can give you strong emotions. That's why we're told not to follow our emotions, especially if they go against the Bible. Like, we need to keep them in check. They're wild horses. So it would just overtake me in this very blissful state that was really kind of drunken. And it's kind of hard to explain because it's a spiritual experience, but I just knew. I was like, this is wrong. I don't know why this is going on, and I need help. And so I started asking people for prayer and having my prayer partners at home pray for me. I started fasting and praying to God. And all along, what's starting to happen in my relationship with God is I'm starting to not trust him anymore. And that's the issue when they're there, when they're in your house. That's their goal. The spirits, they want you to stop trusting your creator. They want you to doubt. They want you to lose your confidence. And I hate to say it, but it actually worked. And I can't tell you what it did to me spiritually, you know. And but God is so faithful, and he was there helping me through it. He was giving me promises and encouraging me all along. He was there tenderly with me as I was accusing him, you know, like, why? And don't I serve you? And in the end, you really start wondering, maybe I serve them and I don't know it. You know, you start going crazy. And finally, Al comes to me again one day, and he said, you know, earthing is a spiritualistic healing method. And I was like, no, it's not, Al. I finally spoke up, and I was like, it's not. I've looked into it. It's not. And he goes, yes, it is, Lindsay. I'm like, no, it's not. And he said, don't worry, I'll send you an email. I'm like, sure, go ahead, but it's not. So he sends me an email, and it wasn't convicting evidence to me, but I took it to the Lord, really, where Kyle and I were both praying every day, like, God, show me, is this wrong? Is this something I need out of my life? You have to understand my attachment to it. I thought it was going to heal me, you know? And so I was like, really scared to let it go. And I knew I was dying. Finally, I go upstairs one day while I'm praying, and I'm remembering this prayer with God, and we're going back and forth about it. And I'm like, just remember, I'm saying that prayer. Is this bad? Would you please tell me? One day I come upstairs, and I find some of the promises on cards that I write and leave around the house, and every now and then we'll look and they'll encourage me. I found a promise that said, all who desire to know the truth need to be willing to accept all that the truth will reveal. when it said that, you guys, it was like, earthing is spiritualistic. I'm like, oh my goodness. It was like all of a sudden blinders removed, and I ran to my car and I took those blankets and I threw them away. I called everybody. I got into earthing and I told them my experience and begged them to throw it away, and that it's not benign, and don't delay. Do it now. And then Kyle and I got on our knees. We asked for forgiveness and asked the Lord to remove it. And he did. And that was the last time that I ever had to deal with that. Praise God. And God is so good, you know. So I just want to, like, be very specific that he is with us. Even sometimes when we allow these things, he is there to teach us, to guide us, to tenderly help us. And he is not against us. And praise Jesus for all that he's done for me. So I just want to just go into, because there's a lot of questions with Christian yoga. So this is Deuteronomy 12:30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, the pagans and their customs, that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. So basically, the Bible says God will not accept worship when people take a pagan custom or manner of worship and try to honor Christ with it. So, a main question is, can you separate the spiritual from the physical? I'm going to have to, just for sake of time, I may have to skip some slides. So, this is from Mark 2:3. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down their bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk, but that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. So we see this idea of the physical and the spiritual being very intimately related. The palsied man was entirely helpless, and seeing no prospect of aid from any corner, had sunk into despair. Then he heard of the wonderful works of Jesus. His disease was the result of a life of sin, and his sufferings were embittered by remorse. Yet it was not physical restoration he desired, so much as relief from the burden of sin. If he could see Jesus and receive the assurance of forgiveness and peace with heaven, he would be content to live or die according to God's will. The healing of the body was an evidence of the power that renewed the heart. Christ bade the paralytic arise and walk that ye may know. He said that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. The paralytic found in Christ healing for both the soul and the body. The spiritual healing was followed by physical restoration. This lesson should not be overlooked. There are today thousands suffering from physical disease who, like the paralytic, are longing for the message, thy sins are forgiven. The burden of sin with its unrest and its unsatisfied desires is the foundation of their maladies. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. Psalms 23, he restoreth my soul. So this is the struggle of being sick. A man will give all he has for his own life. That's Satan talking to Jesus. And this is true unless you are firmly established with God's foundation, with Christ's foundation, and then you will not give Jesus for your own life. You'll let it go before you let him go. We're going to go into just a few of these. So here are, and this is not all of them, obviously. So the issue with the methods of spiritualism are they're real and they work, But it's really, whose power do you want to heal you? Whose power do you want in your life? Whose power do you want to be giving your will to? So, Reiki, yoga in all forms, earthing, acupuncture, Chinese traditional medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, meditation, mindfulness, reflexology, energy balancing, tapping, AMSR, energy work, martial arts, iridology. So AMSR right now is super popular on YouTube, and a lot of YouTube channels have it as a stamp. It has to do with meridians and really Chinese traditional medicine. And I'm going to go into Chinese traditional medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and mystical herbology, just because they all deal with herbs. So this is like the gray area and what is very confusing, because it's a blending of darkness and light together. There's good things, there's bad things. Plus, God made herbs. God made the earth with earthing. You know, these things are not in and of themselves bad. But when the philosophy is worked in with these things, and they are the originators of the creation, that, like the product that they're making, you need to be very aware that some things are not spiritually safe for us to be doing. So, with mystical herbology and the others, the issue becomes when they make their own recipes. So, for instance, in traditional medicinals, which is in every grocery store, in fact, like Throat Coat and all those, I had all her teas, but I didn't know that the teas were being made by a witch until I looked into this thing and realized, oh, she's concocting all the recipes. And where that's a problem is spirits. The plants are literally telling her what to do, so she can hear them energetically, and then she's making the combinations. So we know as Christians that plants can't talk, and, you know, but there is a war going on, and there are two sides to that war. There's Satan and his angels and Christ. And so when the spirits are helping her make this recipe becomes dangerous to have. SEAC tea, kind of same thing. It's made by a medicine healer. It's like a Wajua healer. SEAC is the lady who took that tea from that medicine healer and recreated it. Well, she didn't recreate it, sorry. She made it popular as a cancer healer. And it's actually, SEAC is her name backwards, which is an occult practice. So biofeedback, Rife machine, homeopathy. The issue with homeopathy is they believe they're putting vibrational energy into their product. They put it on vibrating machines, which, you know, in and of themselves isn't. But it's the stamp of the belief that's going to heighten your universal energy within your body. Shamanism is huge now. A lot of times if you're going to a secular healer, you might not even know they're a shaman, but they have that credentials, and they may not even tell you, or you may not know. So it's just good to look into the backgrounds of the people that we're going to for healing. Crystals, talisman, cupping, rune symbols, astrology, divination is a diagnostic tool. Secular psychology and aromatherapy. So just to points out, aromatherapy is very different than the therapeutic use of essential oils. You also want to be careful for the company you're buying from. Young Living puts the vibrational energy into their bottles and actually says that spirits go home with the bottles, that there's a spirit in the bottle. So that information is very hard to find. You have to talk to the people who sell the item, and they get that information from the company. So aromatherapy is really the spiritualistic aspect of like putting you into a meditative state, calming your mind. The therapeutic use of essential oils is there's certain compounds in the oil that are very beneficial healing to the body, and you apply it according to, you know, how it's going to help you. So those two are different. Craniosacral therapy. This is based on shamanism and meditation. EMF protection. This one's going to get really big. It's getting really big right now. Electromagnetic frequencies. So we know that microwaves actually are harmful to the body, but they come out of our cell phones, our smart meters, different things like that. And online, there's this huge community of being able to buy things that protect you from these microwaves. And you can put them on your cell phones. There are necklaces, plug-ins to the wall, and little pyramids or crystals that you put on your computers or electronics so that it's absorbing this negative frequency. This aspect of it is spiritualistic in nature. The fact that microwaves are harmful is true, and you can protect them with blocking them with Faraday cages and stuff like that. But this other stuff is really adopts the philosophy of spiritualism. Ormes minerals, orbitally rearranged monatomic elements, or M-state minerals, these are harvested with alchemaic practice. So we'll go down below that. With alchemy is the mixture of chemistry and the occult together as one. So when you're harvesting minerals with alchemy, it's, you know, you don't want to use those minerals. Rolfing, myofascial release, cupping, osteopathy. So this one category is very difficult to ascertain. I had to really look into myofascial release because it really just looks like a massage. But when you're applying a massage and then all of a sudden your client has this strong emotional reaction to your massage where they're just letting out all this trauma emotionally, or, you know, and even to the point where it can change their character is what it claims, that's when there's a line there. Because in massage, it's true, people will cry. They get emotional. But it's very different from this concept of emotional release, where you're just letting out some trapped trauma in your body somewhere, and you're just now letting it out, and now you're going to be free forever from it. So that's really like one of the concepts that I'll talk about here. Evil would be better understood if it appeared as having no good in it. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1. So here's the guidelines I'm going to give you, and this is, you can apply this to any healing method. You can actually apply this to anything having to do with spiritualism, but this is specifically healing. And I encourage you to pray and ask God for wisdom. Don't take my word for this. Ask God. He knows specifically what is harmful for you in your life, and he can tell you. So if it has to do with an energy, universal energy, or an earth energy or force, anything to do with chi, which is universal energy. If it has to do with breathing techniques, so some breathing techniques are completely fine for the body, because we know that breathing deeply and getting oxygen in is a very good thing, and it is. But breathing techniques, according to the spiritualism's philosophies, like in yoga and meditation, these breathing techniques are Satan's ground. There's this guy, it's like the polar plunge guy that is getting really popular right now. He sits in very freezing cold ice water for hours. And the way he does it is he uses breathing techniques. So when somebody does something that's impossible where everybody else would die, but they're using a breathing technique and it's keeping them alive where it would keep nobody else alive, that's when we really need to start scrutinizing this situation. If you look into this guy's background, he comes from a Tibetan type methodology. And so anything with trapped emotions in the body needing to be let out. Now, Jesus can heal us of our issues, our emotions, our baggage that we have in our life. In fact, when I got anointed for Lyme's disease, which is how I'm getting better every single day, once I actually got rid of all these spiritualistic methods in my life, I got anointed, and God promised me that I would get well, and I have not been doing anything besides exactly what God has told me. So now I'm plant-based. Now I'm doing all these things that he said, and that only. I don't allow any other technique to come into my life unless I go to him first and ask if it's okay to allow. And I'm just need to, because I have a habit of going to these other methods and not looking to Jesus, I have to be so careful that I'm not going to do that. So I make it, I talk to him about it first. So his first thing he did when I got anointed is he healed me emotionally from a trauma that happened in college. Some regret, like that heavily weighed on my heart. He freed me of that, and he freed me completely, and it's gone. I know it still happened, but no longer do I have any attachment to it emotionally. And God is the only one who can do this. We can't, like, go hike up a mountain and just be emotionally now free of our things. You know, we can't just go get a massage and now be emotionally free of these, like, horrible traumas that have happened to us in our life. Really, it doesn't work that way. Jesus is the only one who can free us. If it has to do with vibrations, frequencies, or magnetism, be aware. Not all, right? Because we know there's frequencies and magnets, but that's when you need to just start praying and looking into it. It should be a red flag. If you have to give up total control to another person, emptying your mind as in guided hypnosis or meditation. If the originator who came up with the therapy has a spiritualistic background or is into meditation or yoga. If the definition of how the therapy works doesn't make any sense or you can't really determine how it works. Anything having to do with alchemy, mystical magic, druid, or spells. Anything that promises a higher state of being, secret knowledge, ancient knowledge traditions. So you'll see this a lot on different bottles of like shampoo, of just different items in the grocery stores coming from a secret ancient knowledge. When you see that, just start looking into the product that you want to buy. If it comes from a culture of people who are known pagans, so not all things, right? But it's just a red flag to be aware of. Following your bliss to become the best you, positive thinking and guided imagery. Positive thinking is a very good thing for us to do. But when positive affirmations and thinking is self-centered and just like promoting self, that's where the line is. Etheric, out-of-body experience, or astral realms. Anything having to do with these is spiritualistic. Anything having to do with auras or human energy fields. Now, the body does have energy. It has electrons. It has the ATP cycle. We have energy. There is a real energy. But this is not that. This is, it's very different when you look into it. The idea of the environment or human being divine or having a divine essence within. So how does this work? That which gives power to these holistic healing methods is the act of giving your will to that power. The physical methods of therapy are meaningless. It is the acceptance of the method and its perceived power, which then allows Satan to exercise power over us. Believing in these methods, practicing them, buying the merchandise, and bringing them into our home allows spirits access into our home and lives. We carefully secure our homes with bolts and locks and protect our property and ourselves from evil men, but we seldom think of the evil angels who are constantly seeking access to us, and against whose attacks we have in of our own strength, have no method of defense. Great controversy. Satan is well aware that the weakest Christian who abides in Christ is more than a match for all the armies of darkness. All. Okay, praise God for his power. And let's remember, the armies of darkness are a conquered foe. You know, for this reason, he tries to draw soldiers of the cross away from their strong defenses while he waits in ambush, ready to destroy all who step onto his ground. Only when we rely on God and obey his commandments can we be secure. Neither wicked people nor devils can shut God's presence away from his people if they will confess their sins, put them away, claim his promises, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now this is how we truly heal. Jesus equals life. And when virtue from him entered into these souls, they were convicted of their sin. And many were healed of their spiritual disease as well as their physical maladies. So right now we see that the conviction of sin can lead to the healing that God has in store for us. Sin and disease are very connected. So we're going to go a little bit into this, but I'm not going to go too much into it because I'm really going to go into the big picture of God's health laws. So nutrition, so these are the laws of health that God gave to us. Nutrition, exercise, rest, pure air, water, the use of water, temperance, sunshine, trust in God. So here's the big picture. God's health methods are simple. Anyone can do them. You don't need a secret knowledge that only certain people are privileged to. They work together synergistically, greater than the sum of their parts. They are free or very little money. The remedies work with the way your body was designed to work. It's not forcing your body to do something that it doesn't want to do. The battle is real. It's over our will. God's health methods are designed to give you increased willpower and clarity of mind. Praise the Lord. So that is the entire goal of the health message, is clarity of mind and strong will on the Lord's side, which is so awesome. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. 2 Chronicles. The issue with Asa was that he did not seek the Lord. There were a million quack doctors, or people promising healing through all kinds of things, fads really. Some of them may be more spiritualistic in nature, more connected to direct satanic influence like homeopathic medicine, yoga, New Age healing, crystals. Some are just weird ideas people have, like magnets, earthing, cupping, and other weird things. God made magnets. God made the earth. These things may not be evil in and of themselves, but when we seek those things, believing they will help us, we are essentially doing what Asa did, not going to God. This is the main issue, is the health law. Trust in God. When we go to these methods instead of to God, it means we aren't trusting Him. And that is the main issue. We trust Him when we align our sleep, eating, exercise, water, sunshine intake, and trust in Him with all that He has revealed. I do want to point out too, when you are doing God's health laws, it's a testimony to the whole universe that's watching that we believe what God says. So when we get out there and we get sunshine, when we go exercise every day, when we eat, when we say, no, I'm not eating that donut, I'm going to have this banana, you know, like, it is a testament, like, to Jesus. It's glorifying Him. So we trust God when we dip in the Jordan River 7 times, or we put a lump of figs on the boil and it will get better. We don't trust Him when we are looking for the next bad fix. This is the main issue. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14. Now, I'm going to very shortly go into, and this is what I do not take my guests into because it's not necessary for them, but I wanted to do this with you because this is what God has shown me personally about my experience. When I was going to these different healing methods and I was not doing what God had commanded me to do, which was become plant-based, He showed me what these things actually were in my life. You have to understand, I did not understand this when he told me. I was very confused because I had been blinded by going away from God, essentially. This is what he told me one day. So what did God tell me these things were? I found this verse. He said, you grew weary in your... Let me explain why he told me this. After the anointing, it reconnected me with God. One day, a friend came with some supplements called Sunrider, which I do not advise anybody take. But they promised healing, and it came to me again, and I'm like, all of a sudden, it's like rekindled, this like addiction that I have to like trying to find different ways of health and healing. And I was like, oh, I started looking into it and talking to her and figuring out how I can buy this. And I was asking God, like, God, is it okay? Can I do this? And he's not talking to me. Is it okay? Can I? But as I'm still getting into it, you know, this is what I found. This is what he told me. You grew weary in your search, but you never gave up. Desire gave you renewed strength, and you did not grow weary. Isaiah 57. And that hit me like I can't, you know, there's that verse in the Bible that says, are not my words like fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And that's what it did to me, to my soul. And I was like, no, that's not me, is it? And I thought, if you're telling me that, that means these things are idols. So that's what God showed me. He's like, this is your idol, Lindsay. And it's an image or representation of God used as an object of worship, or greatly admired, loved, or revered. Idolatry is the worship of an idol as if it were God. And it is the act of giving your will to something that is not Jesus. Idols are anything that is first in your heart before God. Like sleeping. It's like in the morning, I'm like so tired, and God's like, get up, Lindsay, let's worship. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. This can be anything: healing methods, an image, money, an opinion, an attitude, worldly position, man's ideas over what God says. If the things in this world are cherished, however uncertain or unworthy they may be, they will become all-absorbing, desire of ages. True revival, the Holy Spirit's work. So this is it. A humbling of the heart to God. Self must yield, or will must be given into Christ's control. Removal of the idol, throwing it away or destroying it. Putting away all of our differences from among each other. Asking God's forgiveness of us and going and sinning no more. Then there was rain. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. 1 Kings 18. So I just wanted to point out two stories in the Bible. One is Elijah when he's on Mount Carmel and the test has been presented to Israel of who do you serve. He said, why halt thou between two opinions? If Jehovah is the Lord, serve him. If Baal is Lord, serve him. But make a choice. Don't go back and forth like I was doing. So after that, and you know what happened, the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves, and God didn't allow Satan to answer. Satan wanted to. He wanted to, but God did not allow it. And he definitely had the power to, right? Unless God stops it. And then God's altar, you know, had the fire fall on it and burn it all up, and all of Israel proclaimed, God is the Lord, like Jesus is the Lord, Jehovah is the Lord. So this verse here in Isaiah is actually so similar, because like right after they all proclaim Jehovah is the Lord, then Elijah is praying, right, and praying for rain, and it says, I hear the sound of rain, or I smell, rain is coming. So it's kind of the same thing. There's an idol in somebody's life, they make a choice, and they choose to serve the Lord, praise God. It gets humbled, and then there's the sound of rain, and we know that rain in the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So revival, after you remove idols, and you pray and humble yourself and ask, and you destroy those idols, you get the Holy Spirit. The Lord will give you the Holy Spirit, and there will be revival in your life, like there was in mine. So here's Isaiah. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, follow it, whether it turns to the right or to the left. Then you will dishonor your idols and your gold-covered statues. You will throw them away like clothing ruined by stains. You will say to them, get out. The Lord will give you rain for the seed that you plant in the ground, and the food that the ground provides will be rich and nourishing. When that day comes, your cattle will graze in large pastures. So it's interesting, in the study of idols in the Bible, there's kind of always this sequence where it's like, you target that it's an idol, you humble your heart to God, you destroy it, and you get rain. The Holy Spirit removes confusion, like pure air from heaven, and it restores right thinking within the mind, according to the Bible. True religion takes God at his word and obeys. Recipe for salvation. This is Titus 3. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing or regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of his eternal life. So, Joshua 24. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. So I want to make a call to all of you, and then I'd like to pray for us. Is there anything in your life that God has been putting on your heart to submit to him? Is there anything in your life that where you know God has told you something and you haven't done it? God can give you the power to do it. Don't let go of his hand. Wrestle it out to the very last, because God promises us to give us his power. He and he alone can change our hearts. We can't do it. Our hearts are not, they are fallen. But God, the miracle of heaven, he gives us his nature and his Holy Spirit. And we can be just like him. And so I just want to ask, like, if that's you, if you need to submit something, if you need help doing that, then just in your heart, as I pray, just say, yes, God, that's me. I need your help. If you have any idols that now you have realized, oh, I have those things in my life, I need to remove them. Tell God and go home and destroy them. All right, let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you are, for how forbearing you are with us, tarrying with us, not wanting one to be lost, that you desire that we trust you completely 100%, that you desire that we walk in your way, that you desire that we understand that you are love embodied and that you are coming back to get us. And Father, I just want to ask for every person here and me and myself as well, that if there's anything on our heart that we need you desperately to free us from, I just plead, God, give us humble hearts. Help us to turn to you. Remove these things from our lives. Give us the power to do what you're asking, because we do not want to be lost. We want to be counted with you in your kingdom. And we know you're coming back so soon. So, Father, we thank you for doing this thing that we've asked today, and ask that your Holy Spirit will go through us through the rest of the day. And may we be a blessing to other people today. And I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.